It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Kristen Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we just finished week one of the college football season. Actually, we have one more game tonight, Boston College, Florida State. I don't really care about that game. I'm sure you don't. I mean, you're probably going to watch it. I might peep it. But aside from that, we just finished week one of college football in NCAA.
So Missouri has Boston College come up, so I'll probably gander at that game. I'll probably watch that game, actually.
You'll probably watch that game.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that game, so 100%. But, you know, it was one of those weekends, Chris, that, you know, Saturday, I was sitting there thinking, I was even like, man, these games are terrible.
They were
like,
great.
It's like Texas, the blowout game, and in that Clemson. And
Clemson
Georgia,
had no fight.
There was none. And, you know, Dabo wants to do things his way. They're the only school outside of service academies that did not have one portal player.
Right.
You know, and it showed. And I know that he's careful with his nil. They won't use nil to bring a recruit in. They use it for retention purposes only. But, listen, Dabo's a great coach. He's won two national titles. This ain't 2015 anymore. This is new rules, new game. If you're not going to play him, there's really not a role for you.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of flack right now. A lot of people are questioning how long he's going to be there, which is crazy because, you know, 5 years ago, he was on top of the world.
He went to six straight college football playoffs. Not when they had 12 teams, when they only had four teams. And that's including winning two national titles. But again, it's a different game. If you're not, the transfer portal is free agency, man. That is college football free agency. They used to be the JUCOs. These would load up on talent, especially in Kansas, because of all the great Kansas JUCOs, you know, in the state. But yeah, a transfer portal will build your team up. It's you can't have that philosophy in 2024. You just can't.
No, and yeah, I think that's probably why he ends up losing his job at some point here pretty soon within the next couple seasons. My Florida Gators are probably looking for a job, are looking for a new head coach here within the next few months.
Yeah, that was
not good.
You know, when Graham Mertz, the quarterback of Florida from locally here from Blue Valley North, you know, some were, you know, talking about it. He kept saying that's a pro throw and all that. He's been forever, you know, with Wisconsin before he transferred down to Florida. But
right,
you know, he's been looked upon as a pro prospect at the quarterback, not first, second round or anything, but he is talked about as a draftable quarterback. But that was pretty brutal for Florida.
Yeah,
Miami's got talent all over that field.
Offensive line was real bad. He didn't look great. It's not all his fault. It's more so Napier's fault for having an unoriginal offense and a bad offensive line. Does not recruit offensive line very well, and you know that's the situation you get into. But we'll start by recapping the top prospects from around college football and how they performed this weekend. Starting on Thursday with the Colorado-North Dakota State game, North Dakota State gave Colorado everything they could handle. Ended up losing 31-26. Colorado pulled it off at home. Early on in that game, like North Dakota State, you really was starting to take it to them early, and they were getting whatever they wanted on offense. They were able to get some stops on defense towards the end of the first half. Had opportunities to score more points. They unfortunately, for them, they did not score those points. But they did have a three-point lead going into the half, and then after that, they only scored 6 points in the second half. But Shador Sanders, 26-34, 445 yards, four touchdowns, a pick, six carries, 17 yards. Meanwhile, Travis Hunter, who at this point right now is probably leading as far as the top wide receiver, maybe even the top player in this draft, seven catches, 132 yards, three touchdowns. He also had a carry for 0 yards, and he had three tackles on defense. Remember, he is still a cornerback as well as being a wide receiver. I think Travis definitely separated himself in that race for the number one receiver. I think Shador looked good. But Shador's footwork is still terrible, and he's absolutely going to need to work on that because there was a lot of throws that he was inaccurate on because he was trying to rely on his arm strength a little more as opposed to like setting his feet and throwing with them. But still, a lot of yards, looked good, and I'll be interested to see how he progresses throughout the year because there is a very tight race for that top quarterback spot.
And a lot of it's going to come down to the blocking. I'm not sure that's there either. And listen, they beat North Dakota State. North Dakota State's their coach went to USC to be an assistant. That's right. What head coaches are leaving to do. They looked a lot like last year's team, to be honest with you. I mean, they did win the game. It was a home game. But it wasn't – Colorado State still – Deion's clock management wasn't great at the end.
No.
It gave North Dakota State literally had a Hail Mary at the end of the
game.
They
had a chance.
A little bit shy, but they had a chance. And – again, when you're going to the Big 12 and how competitive the Big 12 is, you look at Colorado and say, all right, listen, North Dakota State's a big name. It's a big program, but it is not as good as the North Dakota State when like Kleiman was there or when Matt Ince was there or Bowl was there. It's much different.
Couple players for local schools. Starting out with Mizzou, Luther Burton, the third wide receiver. 3 catches, 39 yards, and a touchdown. Pretty pedestrian day, but they were boat racing Murray State from the very beginning. So that was one of those games where like they didn't really need him to pop off like that because their running game was working. They got a lot of turnovers early, and those led to easy touchdowns. That game was basically done in the first quarter, so I'm not going to put too much weight on that. But for KU, Devin Neal, running back, 8 carries, 112 yards, 2 touchdowns on the day. He looked very fluid out there. He was very explosive. I was really impressed with what I saw from Devin Neal.
No, it was KU in Missouri looked crisp, but they're supposed to be. And one thing about college football is, and one thing that's different to pros, like preseason football teams look kind of, they don't look good, right?
No.
But college football, you're set to go. That's why it's okay to play like a Murray State. It's okay to play like a Lindenwood. And those games went like you'd expect them to go. But that's why I give credit to, like, you know, last night. You know, when good teams like LSU playing USC. I mean, there's no margin for error in these type of, you know, games when they're playing. But Murray State and Lindenwood are not great teams. Murray State was a 2-win team last year, and that's at the FCS level. Lindenwood, right. We're talking about Lindenwood that used to be, you know, a Division II team.
They were Division II.
Down here in St. Louis. I mean, that is, it's Lindenwood, man. And they won 3 games last year. Let's see. Again, they look good. The players look good. But again, you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt. It's like watching preseason NFL football. If someone dominates, you're like, okay, well, they were playing against the 2s and 3s. These guys are selling insurance for State Farm, you know, in a week. So, but Devin Neal is one of the top 10 running backs in the country. I think we understand that. And Jalen Daniels, KU will go as far as he stays with them and stays healthy. But for Missouri, there was, you know, Theo East got banged up, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the tight end as well. So they're looking to come back next year. But I'll tell you this much. The one guy that kind of stood out to me the most was Marcus Carroll. I think they really have hit something in him and Noel.
Yeah.
I mean, you're replacing Cody Schrader, but man, those guys look good.
Yeah. They definitely were a lot more physical in the run game than they were last year because Schrader is more of a, he was a smaller back, more of an elusive.
It's a catch that tells the end.
Yeah. Now, like, they're a little bit more violent in the run game, and that certainly could help them as they get later into the season. Utah's Brant Cuthie, tight end.
It was Norfleet that got hurt.
Yeah. Utah's Brant Cuthie, tight end, had 4 catches, 69 yards, 3 touchdowns. So, you know, he's a guy that you look at as maybe the, you know, one of the top tight ends in this draft class is a guy that's been considered one of the top tight end prospects for years, but he's had some injury issues and whatnot that have pushed his potential declaration for the draft back for like 2 or 3 years now. So, good
to see 10th him. Or 11th best tight end. The only thing about Cuthie is he's 6'2".
Yeah.
He says at this point, maybe he goes to combine 6'1". He's not your prototypical 6'5", 6'6" tight end. This will be a very good tight end draft. I know that. You know, it was decent 2 years ago, the tight ends. I think we looked at that and said, hey, there's some good tight ends in this class. Last year, it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's why Jared Wiley goes the 4th round. Right. I mean, you didn't say talent, but this year, wide receivers and tight ends going to be talked out a lot this year.
One guy that I added to the watch list, actually, I had him on the watch list, but I added to our watch list, Jasheen Davis, edge rusher out of Wake Forest. He had a sack in Wake's game on Thursday, and I put him on there because if you look at his body type, you look at his skill, it's, you watch him on film, he looks like a Spags guy, 6'3", 276, power rusher. You look at that size, that skill profile. He's a guy that could line up on the inside as a three tech on rushing downs, like a Charles Omenihue, Mike Dana. I think he's someone to watch out for the Chiefs because he very much fits their profile. He was very active in the run game and in the passing game, generating pressures, just bull rushing the hell out of these tackles. So that's a guy to watch out for, especially for the Chiefs, just because he kind of fits the profile that Spags likes. And then there's a running back out of North Carolina, Omarion Hampton. 30 carries, 129 yards, 5 catches, 17 yards. Not a good North Carolina team, bad quarterback situation, offensive line isn't great, but Hampton, man, that guy, he's going to get a lot of usage this year, and I think he looked really good in that first game.
And the one thing, you know, talking about tight ends and wide receivers, running back class is actually pretty damn good
really
this
good.
Year as well.
So, really
Hampton, he had 1,500 yards rushing last year, and who's like almost like 6 yards a carry, is like 5.9 yards a carry. Yeah, again, we're talking top 10 back.
Yeah, this is a guy that I definitely think.
Maybe the top back taken.
I kind of feel like Ollie's still going to be that guy.
Ollie Gordon probably won, but don't sleep on Hampton.
Don't sleep on Hampton. Hampton's a guy that could
listen,
very well
Ollie's
take that
gonna
top
get the
spot.
Awards. He's going to be the one in the Heisman chase. He's going to be that.
He's
going
to get the highlights for sure.
But that doesn't always mean everything when you're Hampton.
And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for Hampton because Hampton doesn't have the help. Like, aside from him, they got Bryson Nesbitt at their tight end spot, and that's really it. Like, They're not that impressive on offense right now. Oklahoma's Deion Burks, he had 6 catches, 36 yards, 3 touchdowns. He very much looks like a Hollywood Brown type clone receiver for them. That's going to be a guy to watch out for. Nick Anderson, the other receiver that they have, did not play on Friday night, so didn't get a chance to watch him. I was looking forward to seeing him, but unfortunately he was hurt. And then Stanford's wide receiver, Elik Iemanar, 7 catches, 102 yards. I like him as a slot receiver type. He does play the X a lot. He plays split out a lot, but I like him as more of a slot receiver type. He looks like he could be a good option for the Chiefs in like the second round if they wanted to go receiver there. Local kid, running back DJ Giddens for Kansas State.
That was yards last year too, yeah.
Yeah, 13 carries, 124 yards.
Yeah.
Real smooth out there. Just like had a couple of big runs. Just he looks like someone that could be part of a really good 1-2 punch at the NFL level.
100%. When you put Dylan Edwards in that backfield as well, then of course you got the rushing prowess of your quarterback, Avery Johnson. This could be tough, and as I said with the secondary, they didn't have anybody in the preseason, all Big 12 team, K-State, but I love their defense, and if they can kind of suffocate teams, build up a lead, and have this kind of ground attack, look out for that. But DJ Giddens, to me, is a smooth runner. He follows his blocks well.
Yeah.
He goes around. And again, this running back class can be damn good. I mean, you're going to get extreme value throughout the draft in running backs.
I think day three running backs, really strong.
Like, I mean, this
really
is the year.
Strong on day three. If the Chiefs want to go get a guy depth-wise third day, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Because I think this is a great class for that. Moving on there, Miami took on my Florida Gators. It was a terrible game for them. But Miami, couple of good guys. I think that they looked really strong. Cam Ward, their quarterback, transfer from Washington State, 26-35, 385 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. He also had 3 carries for 33 yards.
And Cam Ward's going to keep getting recognition and recognition. Remember, Michael Penix just wasn't, quote, that guy at the beginning of the year, but people knew he's damn good.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, you start creeping up. All of a sudden, okay, this is a top 10 pick in the NFL draft at some point. You know, Cam Ward's going to be that guy. Cam Ward makes the difference for the Miami Hurricanes program. They're recruiting extremely well. That Florida game was, I mean, that used to be a big game. I mean, it was a huge game.
Yeah.
What was silly is the Florida Gator fans chanting, "We won't back down," that song. I was like, dude, you're getting rolled. Anyway, it's just a side story.
And then wide receiver Xavier Restrepo from Miami. 7 catches, 112 yards, touchdown. I thought this kid might be a day three guy if he would have entered. man, he might be a day two type of guy.
Restrepo is one of those good dudes too. He's like constant motor. He's one of those like extreme high motor
guys.
Works hard. He almost threw a touchdown as well.
Yeah.
And it was just a little bit too high. The announcers were saying, well, he's got to catch that ball. I don't know. The ball was thrown out and he said Restrepo, but he was going to throw it too. But he's a high energy guy. Definitely look for him making a difference in the NFL.
He could have a Ricky Pearsall type jump up in draft stock. Which,
speaking of that, man, what a horrible deal, man.
He got released from the hospital, I think last night. He got released. So hopefully Pearsall's doing well and he can recover and get back to doing what he loves most. That definitely was a sad story this weekend. For Georgia, Carson Beck, their quarterback, 23 of 33, 278 yards, two touchdowns, also had three carries for 19 yards. And then edge rusher Jalen Walker, six tackles, 1.5 sacks. They rolled Clemson, and I think Carson Beck put some good stuff on film, but you're definitely going to want to see more of that. But Jalen Walker definitely put some good tape out there, getting a sack and a half.
No, Walker did, and the one thing... You see on Twitter there that people were talking about that, you know, the Georgia defensive players, like how a whole bunch of them in the last couple of years just haven't worked out like you thought. Right. Like Lewis Seaton was a first-round pick for the Vikings.
He got cut.
He's already gone. Yeah. And he just got picked up by, who was it that picked up Lewis Seaton? Was it the Jets?
I want to say it was the Jets. Yeah, I think it was the Jets.
But Lewis Seaton was a dude I freaking loved from Georgia.
Me too. I liked him a lot.
Dead wrong. Maybe it was the right wrong scheme or something. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Maybe it was a wrong scheme situation. I don't know.
But man, I tell you what, Lewis Seaton is already available. And a lot of those Georgia players not leading up to what they wanted to do. But yeah, he was picked right there at the end of the first round by the Vikings.
Then moving on to Ohio State, they had four players go in and show out in their win this weekend. Will Howard, 17-28, 228 yards, three touchdowns. Travion Henderson, their running back, eight carries, 65 yards. The other running back, Quinshon Judkins, the transfer from Ole Miss, 13 carries, 55 yards, and a touchdown. And then their top wide receiver, Emeka Egbuka, four receptions for 51 yards. So good. I mean, good. These are like your beaten down competition. Yeah. So
Egbuka, I think, can end up being a first round pick, to be honest with you. I mean, his numbers, he was hurt most of last year, but before that, he had like over 1,000 yards. He was one of Ohio State's. His numbers are very comparable, to be honest with you, than Marvin Sanders Jr. when they were both there playing at Ohio State. Then you have Jack Sawyer on defense. Again, Jack Sawyer is a guy I looked at maybe a last year draft pick, but he's back there with this team this year as well.
Yeah.
But we know Brad Veach won't draft Ohio State guys.
Probably not.
I mean, he might. I'm sure he would have taken Marvin Harrison Jr. if he was.
Oh, yeah. I think he would.
I think that would have broke the streak.
That might have been the one.
That would have broken the streak, yep.
So moving on, Quinn Ewers, quarterback for Texas, was 20 for 27, 260 yards, three touchdowns and a pick. And then their top receiver, Isaiah Bond, transfer from Alabama, five catches, 61 yards, a touchdown. He also had a 25-yard carry as well. That kid looks really good. He's not quite Xavier Worthy type.
That's his main comparison, though.
Yeah.
But he did lead Alabama last year in yards. So this guy is a big-time recruit.
Not quite Worthy. I think he's probably more so a slot receiver gadget guy than he is like a true potential X receiver at the NFL level. But I do like this kid. And I'll say this. If the Chiefs ever get the chance to draft him in like the second round, I'd be all for it because this kid looks really good. He kind of he actually reminds me a lot of like a Zay Flowers type more than anything. Like he reminds me a lot more of Zay Flowers because Flowers was that gadget guy you just put all over the place when he was at Boston College. That's kind of where I get with Bonds. Jalen Milroe from Alabama. Very light day. Alabama really didn't have much trouble getting rid of their opponent. But
by the way, speaking of Texas, there's somebody for us to keep our eye on for a couple more years. Ryan Wingo out of St. Louis.
He's so good.
He was the best receiver on the football field, man. And he's a true freshman.
He was better than Bond.
He's a true freshman. We're not going to be character concerns 2026 or 27 when we're talking about him.
But in 27. The 27 class, that's going to be the guy.
Put him on your watch list. But yeah, I had to mention him because Wingo is a stud.
Yeah, it's the 27 class. Yeah, the 27 class, Ryan Wingo, he has a chance to be the top receiver in that class. That was a guy when I was watching that game, I was like, I've never heard of this Wingo kid, but he's good. And then it was funny, and I saw he was a true freshman. I was like, man, man, they about to have a nice 3 years with that guy on their team, especially if he turns into like a big playmaker for them every game from here on out. Like, Texas is going to be a tough team to get rid of, especially Arch Manning there too. It's going to be real tough to get rid of him if you got Bond and you got this wonder kind in Wingo there. Jalen Milroe for Alabama, 7-9, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also had 10 carries for 79 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, looking really good there. Ole Miss wide receiver Antoine Wells Jr., whose nickname is Juice. So I like that name. He's got 2 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown.
Non-competitive FBS FCS game.
Non-competitive game there. So, I'll be interested to see, because that's a guy I look at as a potential target in like the second round for the Chiefs if he really kind of fits what they want. Then moving on to the big game on Saturday that night, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, 2 quarterbacks battling it out. Riley Leonard, the transfer from Duke. He was 18 of 30 for 158 yards. He also had 12 carries for 63 yards. That was one of the things that was really weird, is how much they were using him in the run game. Like, it looked like what you would see from like with Jalen Milroe when he was at Alabama, where it's like he's getting a healthy amount, and they're like, it's not like he's scrambling, it's like they're calling his number on these run plays. That's what they were doing with Riley Leonard. It was a little weird, but he actually was pretty effective as a runner. Not like super high yards per carry, but like whenever they were calling his number, he was still effective. And then the other quarterback, Connor Wigman, he looked bad. 12 of 30, 100 yards, 2 interceptions. He was incredibly inaccurate. Just missed a lot of makeable throws.
A lot were expectations on him this year, too. You know, you're talking about a guy that started to see his draft stock climb.
A lot of people thought he might be like the third or fourth quarterback in this draft class.
Still early. I get that. And then, listen, they played a great team in the beginning. It wasn't like he was able to play, you know, an FCS cupcake and throw
but
for like 380 yards.
He was just missing.
He didn't look
good. It wasn't even the stats. It was just like there were multiple throws. Like one of the interceptions he threw, he just like clearly overthrew the receiver, and the safety behind him was able to get an easy pick off of it. It wasn't even like the safety jumped the route or anything. It was just he overthrew the guy.
He's coming back for a pretty bad injury too.
Yeah, but like Wigman definitely didn't look the part. There's been a lot of hype for him this year. I've seen like I think Dane Brugler had him as his number 3 receiver in the draft class. Could not see it in this week. Maybe he'll improve from here on out. Quarterback Drew Aller from Penn State, 11 of 17, 216 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also has 6 carries for 44 yards. And then running back Nicholas Singleton, 13 carries for 114 yards and a touchdown. One guy that we talked about since last year, running back Donovan Edwards from Michigan, did not look good. 11 carries, 27 yards.
No, and he was down in carries, you know, last year in yards per carry and stuff. Maybe back to Penn State for just a second, as far as Drew Aller, like being a pro prospect. I like Aller a lot. Like I do. He was Penn State, man, don't sleep on him. Not only that, but Drew Aller's going to thrive in Andy Kotelinki's. I mean, because he came from Kansas. So Kansas loses their offensive coordinator to Penn State. So watch out for the team. But Donovan Edwards, I've thought for a while like he's going to be a better pro.
Me too.
Just because of his physical running style. And he did have over 100 yards in the national title game on 2 big carries.
Yeah.
But, again, we thought he was going out last year. Him and Blake Corum were going to go boom, boom. And I thought, okay, this is better than Blake Corum in the National Football League, but definitely a disappointing game for him.
My thing is this, is like sometimes you got to show it. You got to show it. Like, yes, we can see the talent at the collegiate level, but you got to be great at the collegiate level too before you get to the pros. And that concerns me, that he's getting opportunity after opportunity and it looks like he's getting passed up on his own depth chart. Like, that is concerning to me. This is like he's on the cover of the NCAA game on College Football 25, and he's out here. He was second on his team in carries, and he's averaging 2 yards a carry. That's he's got to be better than that. I don't care who they're playing. He's got to be better than that. They're tied in, though. Colston Loveland looked really strong. 8 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. Maybe the top running back in this draft class, Ollie Gordon II from Oklahoma State. 27 carries, 104 yards, 2 touchdowns. I really like what Ollie's done. He's my favorite running back in this draft class right now. I think really it's him and Omari and Hampton are the two guys to look out for. Maybe one of these other guys will jump in. Maybe Donovan Edwards will step up and you know, get to the level that we think he could be able to get to. But right now, Ollie's the guy, and he looked really strong. Then, I mean, maybe I think the most impressive performance from this weekend. First off, starts off with Noah Fifita, the quarterback for Arizona. 19 to 31, 422 yards, four touchdowns and a pick.
And they were almost all the one guy.
He's little. He's very small. Don't sleep on him. It's going to be tough for him to make it to the pros, but don't sleep on him. Because he's like, I think he's like 5'9 and change is what they said.
5'10
and change, you know, but it's probably 5'9.
Really means 5'9, yeah.
Small guy, but, you know, he's got a good arm. He doesn't have a great arm or anything, but he's got a good arm. And I definitely think, you know, if he balls out this year, he's going to have a chance. And then their wide receiver. The wide receiver that accounted for most of those 422 yards for Fifita. Teteroa McMillan. 10 receptions, 304 yards, four touchdowns. He looked unstoppable out there. There were probably more yards he could have got out of that. And it was just like watching him, it looked like it was really easy. It looked really easy.
His size, 6'5". I mean, it was just against New Mexico. Just, you know, many consider him right behind Luther Burden. Like Luther Burden and then Teteroa McMillan as far as the best wide receivers in the country.
I think you could make a case he might, like, there might be a point this year where he passes Burden as the number two receiver.
One draft side I saw had Burden, Teteroa, and they had Egbuka, and they had Bond, believe it or not. Like
above Hunter? Or was Hunter number one?
They had number one was Luther Burden.
Burden, and then
Travis Hunter wasn't on here because of the whole place two positions type thing, but obviously he would be number one.
He should be number two. No, yeah, like at this point now, I think it's Hunter, I think it's Burden, then I think it's McMillan. But I'm going to tell you this: McMillan made a strong case for him being number two or even number one.
He did because he's so big and he's so fluid in what he does. He's a great route runner, but he's tremendous hands.
He's huge. He's massive, and the thing about him is, like, you know, like a Mike Evans, which has been the easiest comp for him. He's going to be one of those guys that makes a quarterback's job easier because they don't have to put it on the money. If they throw it up, he can go up there and pull it down because of his size, and he's got great ball tracking skills.
See, I'd love to see him playing for the Chiefs only because, you know, it's just something they don't have.
Right. I don't think he's their type.
I mean, they're not going to have a chance to draft him.
Yeah, they're not going to have a chance to draft him. And
maybe draft him top 10. You're getting him.
Like, I don't think he's really what they look for at receiver, but that's a guy I could see going to a team that needs that room for error for their quarterback, and he goes out there and he balls out. Like, I really like Teteroa McMillan. This was a guy I was really excited to watch this year, and if, at least game one, he was awesome. Then running back Ashton Jeanty out of Boise State, 20 carries, 267 yards, six touchdowns. This kid, they're already, Boise State's already trying to, like, get the Heisman case going for him right now. They started a website for his Heisman race. This is a kid, I not a ton of tough competition. He was really efficient out there. I mean, averaged 16 yards. Well, actually, no.
A lot of people think big time things for Boise.
Over 10 yards.
They came in with a lot of hype this season. Yeah.
Like, he is going to be in a great position to potentially take that top spot. He's not super big, so as a running back, that might hurt him a bit. But he's got the ability to find, you know, those small crevices in the defense and burst through that and get those opening, you know, get those running lanes and find that clear air so he can get down the field.
To be honest with you, he's about the size of Jet McKinnon. He's 5'9", 215.
He's not big at all. He's not big at all. Like, he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be like a second back on a team.
But all of a sudden, he could be 220 pounds very easily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very, very, very quickly. And then the last one on our recap list, wide receiver J. Michael Sturtevant out of UCLA, three catches, 36 yards. Not that impressive. This is a guy that, you know, we looked at as like a second or third day guy, potentially like to see more out of him. So let's get to our moneymakers. I'll start. We can kind of go back and forth. who are guys. My first moneymaker guy who made himself some money this weekend is going to be Tetteroa McMillan for me. Again, 10 catches, 304 yards, 4 touchdowns. One of the most impressive performances that I've ever seen from a receiver, and you saw everything you wanted to see on film. I know it was against New Mexico, but he's going to have plenty of opportunities to do that because I'm not sure there's a corner out there that can cover him. And he's getting the same kind of coverage that like Kelce does, where guys are bumping him anytime he's near them within that 5-yard range, like a lot, like he was getting the Kelce treatment as far as like potential doubles and a lot of guys trying to bump him when he was in cut, when he was running his routes. This is a guy I think is going to be really special.
That's sick. You know what? It's October 19th, Tetteroa McMillan, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Going at it. That's going to be some fun.
That'll be interesting. I don't think Travis Hunter can cover.
Well, they play K-State this year, too, and again, great singing.
Yeah, they do play K-State as well. That's a game I'm considering going to. But, yeah, no, I'm not sure there's a corner that can cover that guy. That guy is excellent. Who is your first moneymaker?
My moneymaker, first one, Travis Hunter. I mean, if you don't know who Travis Hunter is, he played for Dion at Jackson State, even though he like spurned, I think, Florida State to go there.
He did.
Tremendous talent. Was a better defensive back, I think, at Jackson State, but he did both at Colorado. He got hurt in that Colorado State game, but he was the best player on the football field by far. 7 catches, 132 yards, even though they did have Jimmy Horn get 198 yards. 3 touchdowns, but he only missed 2 snaps between doing a Shohei Ohtani of the college football field. He played defense and offense. I mean, this guy can be drafted as one of the better corners in the NFL or better wide receivers, but the way he looked at wide receiver looked unguardable. In his silky smooth routes, the way he's catching the football, and the fact that he's playing tired because you're playing the corner all but 2 snaps he played. But Travis Hunter, man, watch out.
Yeah, very physical receiver, not afraid to fight for the football. We obviously saw that with that 3rd touchdown catch he had. Yeah, I really like Hunter a lot. And I think he definitely separated himself as the top receiver in this draft class. He was incredibly impressed. He's really fun to watch. I can't wait to see him play better corners. My second moneymaker, Cam Ward, quarterback out of Miami, 26-35, 385 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, 3 carries for 33 yards. He was throwing on the run. He was changing his arm angle when he was throwing, a lot of sidearm throws. You could definitely tell he's been watching film on Patrick Mahomes. And I definitely think that's benefited him because he looks like one of those guys that he can be a threat in the air, on the ground. And I'm going to be really interested to see how he progresses throughout the year, because right now you do not have a clear-cut number one, in my opinion, at quarterback. I think it's very much open there. You got Carson Beck, you got Quinn Ewers, you got Shedeur Sanders. Maybe Riley Leonard and Connor Wigman put themselves in that race. But Cam Ward, now that he's at a bigger program with a bigger spotlight, I think he's going to really show a lot of people that he's worthy of being a first-round pick, you know, kind of like a Michael Penix Jr. a year ago where he came out of nowhere and ended up being a first-round pick at quarterback.
And Cam Ward's a stud, man. You know, I've watched some Washington State. I've kind of followed him since Mike Leach was there, to be honest with you. Of course, it was Mississippi State, but Cam Ward's fun to watch. It's like Jaden Hicks with the Chiefs. I got to see some Jaden Hicks is watching some Cam Ward at Washington State. But Cam Ward's unbelievable, and he's showing his leadership. And is the U back? Well, we'll find out, but it'll only be because of Cam Ward.
Who is your second moneymaker?
My second one is Austin. We talked about him in Ashton Giante, 267 yards for Boise State, 6 touchdowns. Come on, man. He's already considered, a top 5 back in the NFL draft. Again, we've mentioned a lot of top 10 backs because they all stood out and were balled out in week one. But Ashton Giante is a complete stud, 267 yards with the 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, I was really impressed by it was hard to find tape on him for his performance. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more of Giante. And this is going to be a fun running back race because, I mean, even though I'd say Ollie Gordon is the favorite right now and Hampton's right behind him, I do think there's other running backs that could make a case for being the top back taken. And I think there's going to be a lot of good depth on day three for running backs if the Chiefs really want to go out there and get a guy like that. So moving on to our watch list, starting out with Texas taking on Michigan. Quinn Ewers, Isaiah Bond, Kelvin Banks on the offensive end for Texas. You also have Ethan Burke, who led his team in sacks. And then you also have defensive tackle Alfred Collins as well for Texas. For Michigan, Donovan Edwards still. We'll see. We'll see how he progresses. If he starts to really lose carries, we'll probably take him off the watch list. But Colston Loveland, arguably the best tight end in the country, who had a really strong game in week one. Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, two defensive tackles you should be watching. The Chiefs are absolutely going to be in the market for one in the draft in April. And that's probably the best tandem in the country. Edge rusher Derek Moore, edge rusher Josiah Stewart. You also have linebacker Jayshon Barham and cornerback Will Johnson. So Texas-Michigan is probably going to be your best game from the weekend. Two top 10 teams and two teams that are full of talent.
It's about 11 a.m. I think 11 a.m. for that game.
I think so. Bowling Green takes on Penn State. Quarterback Drew Aller, one of the you know, top five quarterbacks right now in this draft class.
He's got the size. I love his pocket presence. Yeah. And again, Kotelinki, the offensive coordinator from Kansas.
Wide receiver Julian Fleming, tight end Tyler Warren, edge rusher Danny Dennis Sutton, and edge rusher Abdul Carter. Both guys. I think Abdul Carter had a sack in Penn State's first game of the season. McNeese takes on Texas A&M. Still watch on Connor Wigman. We'll see how he performs. Moose Muhammad was hurt this past weekend, so didn't get a chance to watch him. Edge rusher Nick Scorton, he did have a tackle for loss in the run game against Notre Dame, but didn't really generate a ton of pressure in the passing game. I was a little disappointed by what I saw from him. Their other edge rusher, Shamar Turner, is there, and then you also have cornerback Will Lee, who did make some plays in that Notre Dame game. Tennessee Tech takes on Georgia. You've got Carson Beck, their quarterback. Trevor Etienne, their running back. Florida transfer, so it makes me look
sad. He didn't
sad.
Play week one. Suspended
did not play
for
week one.
One.
He was suspended because of that DUI situation. Tight end Oscar Delp could be one of the top tight ends in this draft class. Two guards to watch out for, Tate Ratledge and Dylan Fairchild. Then on the defensive side, you got Nazir Stackhouse, defensive tackle, an edge rusher, two edge rushers, one Mykel Williams, the other one Jalen Walker. And then they have a linebacker in Smail Mondon Jr. So they got some dogs on that defensive side you want to look out for. Northern Illinois takes on Notre Dame. Riley Leonard's a guy to watch out for. Didn't really impress me, but maybe we'll start to see the passing game for him start to flow a little better as they play easier competition. Tight end Mitchell Evans on the offensive end. One guy that impressed me, Howard Cross III, defensive tackle. I like him as a three tech. I like him as a situational pass rusher. He didn't impress me in the run game at all, so that is a bit concerning. But in the passing game, as a pass rusher, he was doing a good job. He was getting some doubles against Texas A&M, and he was beating guys and generating pressure. So I like Howard Cross.
Definitely watch Mitchell Evans at tight end, like you just mentioned a minute ago. Big 6'5", 260. But Loveland for Michigan, Mitchell Evans, and then even Oscar Delp at Georgia that we mentioned, you definitely watch it. Mitchell Evans is a guy I might like the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
At Notre Dame.
Yeah, very good tight end there.
This might be the draft to go ahead and get that.
Might be.
I know they brought in Jared Wiley or whatever.
Yeah, we'll
but
see.
Still.
We'll see. We'll see with Wiley. I don't want to forecast him for being the guy yet. They also have an edge rusher in RJ Oben, a linebacker in Jack Kaiser, and a corner in Benjamin Morrison. Moving on to Utah, a couple of guys to look out for. Brant Cuthie at tight end. That's another guy.
Benjamin Forbes, a little shorter.
Yeah, a little shorter. He's more of a he's like a Dalton Kincaid type. Him and Kincaid are similar.
6'2", 6'1", at the combine.
Yeah. And then they also have another linebacker in Lander Barton to look out for as well. He's definitely a guy that's been shooting up people's boards at linebacker. Iowa State takes on Iowa. Iowa actually had some good offensive production in the second half of their game. I think they got three receiver touchdowns, which is more than they had, which is the same number they had gotten like the previous two or three seasons in the second half from wide receivers. So they might They might have some offense this year, but Luke Lachey, their tight end, is a guy to look out for as well. This is a tight end factory in Iowa. They also have a guard in Connor Colby to look out for. And then on the defensive end, Jay Higgins is one of the best linebackers in this draft class. And then Sebastian Castro is one of the best corners in this draft class. South Carolina takes on Kentucky. Kentucky's got a pair of wide receivers to look out for: Berrion Brown and Dave Key. Both guys you're gonna want to watch because these two guys bring little different skill sets there. I think Berrion Brown's more of a speed guy.
Oh, Key's, yeah, Berrion Brown, man. He
can go.
That's legit.
He can go. But they also have a really strong defensive tackle in Deion Walker.
They say he's like a 4.28 guy, 4.29 guy, something crazy like that, Berrion Brown.
That's crazy, yeah. No, that's, he would I'd love to have him in the slot for the
Chiefs. He's over 6 foot, too.
He's over 6 foot, too, yeah. That size might actually push him into the first round, but that's a guy I'd like to see. I want to see a little bit more of him on tape, but that's a guy I definitely think could be interesting to watch out for. But yeah, defensive tackle Deion Walker, who I've seen a lot of people as the number two defensive tackle in this draft class. Yeah. You have linebacker Jamin Dumas Johnson, and then you also have corner Maxwell Hairston. Moving on to Charlotte, taking on North Carolina, Omarion Hampton, arguably, you know, you can make a case, top running back in this draft class. Then you have Bryson Nesbitt, another potential tight end the Chiefs could look for.
Hampton, Judkins, and Holloway would be my top three.
Yeah. I like Judkins. I like Henderson, Travion Henderson as well. Also at Ohio State with Judkins. But yeah, Bryson Nesbitt. I think Nesbitt is also a fit for the Chiefs at tight end. He's a bigger Y tight end, Kelsey type, very similar in size. They have a guard in Zach Rice and an edge rusher in Kamon Rucker, who had a sack in North Carolina's first game against Minnesota.
I feel they're going to bring Trey Smith back to Chiefs, but always pay attention to guards.
Always pay attention to guards because you never know. Florida A&M takes on Miami. Cam Ward, Damian Martinez, who wasn't their best back in their game against Florida, but still very powerful running back, and I think there's value in that. I think a lot of teams are looking for that powerful running back that can go get tough yards. So Martinez will be
also
a guy
Restrepo
to look out for
in that game too for Miami.
Obviously, Restrepo, receiver for Miami. You know, he had this great catch where he was like leaning back and caught a ball behind him.
He's that energy guy, man.
Yeah, he's I don't know if he's going to be a star or anything, but I think he's a guy that'll play in the league for a little while. Edge rusher Reuben Bain Jr. and linebacker Francis Maui-Goa. I saw him get called by like three different names. There was Francis, there was Francisco, there was Kiko. There's a lot of different names for him, but yeah, that's a guy to look out for as well. Really good blitzer. South Florida takes on Alabama. You got Jalen Milroe, the quarterback there. Not sure he's a first-round guy, but I can see him second day end up on somebody's roster just because he's a really good athlete. Maybe he switches positions. I don't know. Jeremy Bernard, their wide receiver, I don't think he played in their first game. But then they have a guard. They have a couple of guards, Tyler Booker and Jaden Roberts. And then on the defensive end, you got a defensive tackle in Jaheim Otis, and you have a quarterback in Damani Jackson. Buffalo takes on Mizzou. Wide receiver Luther Burden III is absolutely a guy to look out for. Could be the top receiver taken in this draft class. You also have wide receiver Theo Weiss Jr., though. Is he even going to play? Because he left that game against Murray State. And then tackle Marcus Bryant, another guy to look out for. Number 22, KU, takes on Illinois. Devin Neal, the running back, definitely going to be in that race for top running back for sure. And then cornerback Kobe Bryant, the other guy to look out for. Cal Poly takes on Stanford. Alec Iamanner, wide receiver out of Stanford. This kid's really nice. I like him more as a second-round, third-round guy, but I think this guy could end up being a really good steal out of this draft class. Like, this is a guy that might go underappreciated because I don't think he is the flashy athlete that some of these other guys are, but I like this kid. He's just very consistent.
Considered top 10 or 15 receivers,
yeah,
though,
that's
coming
what I'm
out.
Saying. It's like, I don't think he's going to get the same kind of run that like Bond and Berrion and obviously like the top three are going to get, but I like Iamanner. Virginia takes on Wake Forest. Edge rusher Jasheen Davis. I think he's a fit for Spags' scheme.
You like Jasheen.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think this kid, he would be a fit there. So that's definitely a guy to look out for. Western Michigan takes on Ohio State. Will Howard, former Kansas State quarterback over there, now at Ohio State. Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, the duo at running back. Emeka Egbuka, potential first-round pick at wide receiver. Then you have a couple of guards in Donovan Jackson and Carson Hensman. And then on the defensive side, you got Tyleek Williams, who was another guy who could be a potential first couple around guy at defensive tackle. This was a guy that a lot of people would have gone second day if he would have been in this draft earlier this year, but he decided to come back. And I think right now he's like the fourth ranked defensive tackle in this class right now. Then you had a couple edge rushers, Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau.
Been watching him for 2 years.
Yeah, man. Like both really good edge rushers. Both of those guys could be first round picks. Denzel Burke, cornerback, and also Jordan Hancock, the other corner there. So there's a couple of tandems, couple of duos to watch out for on the defensive side. Nichols takes on LSU. Wide receiver C.J. Daniels, who really didn't impress in the game last night against USC.
I do believe in USC's defense being much better. They bring over UCLA's defensive coordinator. Then Matt Entz leaves North Dakota State to be an assistant out there. But I will say this. I don't know what to think of LSU. They lose early on, but there was no better offense in the country last year than LSU.
Yeah.
And you're bringing back the two best tackles in college football and Will Campbell
and Emory Jones.
Your left and right tackle. They'll both be top 10 picks in the draft, but you lose the Heisman Trophy winner. You lose Malik Nabers. You lose the Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, that was some studs they lost, man.
Yeah, I mean, their offensive line looked fine, but
The line's back. The line's good.
The running back situation didn't impress me, and
their defense does look better than the crap they put on the field last year. Because both those teams last year, USC and LSU, defense held them both back.
Bad defenses last year, but I wasn't impressed by the playmakers on the offensive end for LSU.
Yeah,
CJ Daniels didn't impress me at all. So I to be honest, if he kind of plays like that again, I might take him off our list.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the defensive side, you got defensive tackle Bear Alexander. You also have a guard as well on the offensive end, Miles Frazier. And then linebacker Harold Perkins Jr., who may be the best linebacker in this draft class. Tennessee takes on NC State. You got a guard in Javontez Spraggins. And then you also have an edge rusher in James Pierce. Could be the best edge rusher in this draft class.
Also, Grayson McCall, the quarterback of NC State, transferred from Coastal Carolina. If you remember, Coastal Carolina being a good team, it's because of Grayson. But keep an eye on this guy. Again, put him on your watch list for 2 years. Not this year, but after next year. Nico Emelavaleva, the quarterback of Tennessee. Dude is an absolute freak. And again, he's a sophomore this year. Or last year's freshman. I could call him a redshirt freshman this year. But anyway, he's got one more year after this one. But this dude is somebody we're going to be talking about.
Colorado takes on Nebraska. Quarterback Shedeur Sanders, obviously. Travis Hunter, wide receiver corner. Safety Shiloh Sanders, though Shiloh really was not impressive at all in that game. And to be honest, I'm not sure if he looks very draftable.
If he's wearing 21 like Deion, that was the one thing.
Yeah.
He said 21 and Sanders.
On the Nebraska side, I mean, one guy who's not draft eligible but did look good in his first game was Dylan Raiola, their quarterback.
Mahomes Jr.?
Yeah, the Mahomes clone. He looked really good. But as far as draftable guys go, a couple guys, Micah Mazkua, a guard for Nebraska, and then cornerback Tommy Hill, both guys to watch out for. Houston takes on OU. If Nick Anderson's healthy, watch him, because this is going to be a lot of it'll be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, he wasn't healthy for the first week, so he did not play, but I was really looking forward to seeing him. Deion Burks, man, that kid was a lot of fun to watch. He would be a fit in Andy's system. Gadget guy, you move him all around. I'd love him in the slot.
Versatile, could do both.
Yeah, he can do both. Yeah, Deion Burks is absolutely a guy I'm going to be really tuned in on, because I think second day he might be a really good value. They also got linebacker in Danny Stutzman and Dasan McCullough as well. And they also have a corner in Gentry Williams. App State, Appalachian State, takes on probably not anymore. Clemson had a tough go on Saturday. They've got wide receiver Antonio Williams, tight end Jake Brenningstuhl, who actually looked pretty decent in that game. One of the few players on Clemson who did. You have a defensive tackle in Peter Woods and maybe second best linebacker in this draft class in Barrett
Carter. Notice you didn't put the quarterback Kate Klubnick as an NFL draft prospect.
No, and not at all, man.
And he went to Clemson.
He was a five star.
And people were talking about, you know, him being the next thing.
Yeah,
you know,
he was a five star quarterback. Klubnick
just, yeah, I mean, you watch him, it's like, this is never hit.
I think I saw CDOT tweet out.
As far as his draft prospects.
Yeah, I think I saw CDOT tweet out like a picture of like the top 3 5-star quarterbacks in their recruiting class, and like it's like Klubnick, it's it was Connor Wigman and one other, and it was just like, man, that's
came out
crazy.
Of that Dallas Metroplex,
right.
Too. Big
time
player.
It's crazy how like these guys didn't really quite pan out at that level. They were 5-star guys.
Yep.
Boise State takes on Oregon. Obviously, we're going to get a chance to see Ashton Jaunte play some more against a real defense this time. So that's going to be a great test for him and his draft stock. I'm sure a lot of scouts who are going to be looking at a running back day two, day three are going to be looking for him. Quarterback Dylan Gabriel, who didn't look great first week of the season, but
still like the top Heisman on at this point, though.
Still a guy in the Heisman race. They got two great receivers there with Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart.
And they're definitely worth watching. And Evan Stewart is being missed at A&M.
Right, yeah. So those two guys are definitely going to be must-watches.
But they struggled against an FCS team.
They did.
Because Idaho did drop.
They were FBS, but they didn't drop back. Maybe it's a chemistry thing. They just got to work through that stuff early on. We'll see. But
Evan Stewart only 3 catches, 15 yards.
Yeah,
that's not
nothing impressive from those guys.
Tez had 12 for 81. Low average, 6.8.
Yeah, it was a very low yard per catch, but you know, still hauled in a lot of receptions there. They also have a couple of good tackles there, Josh Connerly and a Johnny Cornelius. And then on the defensive end, you have Jamari Caldwell, defensive tackle, guy to watch out for. They also have an edge rusher in Jordan Birch and a cornerback in Jabbar Muhammad. Northern Arizona takes on Arizona. You have quarterback Noah Fifita, and then you have wide receiver Teteroa McMillan. Both guys you want to look out for, especially McMillan. McMillan might be the top receiver in this draft class. And then finally, for Texas Tech, you want to watch Taj Boyd, running back. That's a guy sneakily, like in some people, top five for running backs in this draft class. So you want to check him out as well. So I'm excited about week two for college football.
Hey.
Still not like the marquee matchups, but, you know, I'll say this. Texas Notre Dame, man. Texas Michigan.
Texas Michigan.
Texas Michigan. That's the game for the week. I don't know if they've announced already where game day is going to be at. It's in Ann Arbor.
It's in Ann Arbor. Yeah, it was at A&M last weekend.
Yeah, it's in Ann Arbor.
Which did you watch it, by the way?
The A&M Notre Dame.
The game day.
A little bit.
You had McAfee up there, like pulling his shirt off and stuff. Nick Saban was just sitting there, like, because
it's hard for me to
watch. The dynamic between them is great, though, because I think it's fun. It reminds me of like Herb Street early on in Corso.
It's
like Nick Saban, you know, the straight laced guy. Then you got McAfee just doing whatever the hell he wants.
It's hard. I'm not a big McAfee fan, so it's hard for me to watch game day because of him. But you know, I'll say this: it's good that Saban's on there. I think Saban has a lot of interesting.
He brings 7 national titles to the board.
Like I said, he's got a lot of interesting things to say. So I enjoy watching him go out there and talk football.
Tennessee NC State might be fun.
Well, yeah. Well, right. Yeah, I put that on. Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, that's gonna be just cause like there's a lot of talent in that game. But yeah, I mean Texas, Michigan, must watch game of the week. I'm really excited to see those.
Oh, Colorado, Nebraska may be kind of fun too.
Colorado, Nebraska will be interesting for sure, just because of that battle between Raiola and Shador.
Yep.
And also, if they lose, Colorado loses, because that's a game like
this
they
Nebraska
should win.
Team's pesky though.
They're pesky, and Matt Rhule as the head coach is definitely going to improve over what they had with Scott Frost. But man, I'm going to tell you this, like. There's not a lot of easy games on Colorado's schedule, and this is supposed to be one of the easy ones. And if they happen to lose this game, I'm not sure Dion lasts, because There's a lot of other things happening, a lot of other issues happening outside of football, you know, as far as like his media and relations and whatnot.
With Sean Keeler, he used to live here in Kansas City.
Right, yeah. So it's there's gonna be some quite like a lot. The media is not gonna give that man a break if he loses.
You see Mahomes tweeted Dylan Riola, like, yeah, good job, little cuz. He's not related to him, I don't think. No. He looks just like
him. No, they look
and he
wears
15.
Yeah. He's clearly a big Mahomes fan. Yeah, boy, yeah, so
it's kind of funny. But he's damn good.
Yeah, he has a chance to go out there and make a name for himself besides being a Mahomes fanboy if he balls out against Colorado this weekend. So, thanks for listening to us. Thanks for taking time out of your day to support our podcast. We will be back next week to keep you updated on everything that's going on in college
football. Let you know how these prospects are doing.
We'll let you know what we see. We'll let you know which guys made some money for themselves this past weekend. And we will give you our weekly watch list again.
And if you listened last year, we kept you up to date on Xavier Worthy, who ended up being a Chief the whole season long. We let you know what X was doing.
Yep. So make sure you keep tuned in, because we might be talking about another Chiefs player that could be playing in 2025. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been Character Concerns.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.